To Conversations, Expressions, and You with Intuitive Spiritualist Tori C. and Tanya Parker from Mind, Body, and Soul Food. Whoever thought that we would join up today? We had a show scheduled today with Minister Mason talking about the Baltimore riots and what you need to know. However, Minister Mason has to attend to his wife, which was, you know, she was rushed off to the emergency room. And we're sending out love and praise right now, just, you know, just to cover him with love. We don't know exactly what the outcome is that he's dealing with, but just want to send up some love right about now. So right now we're about to get into conversations, expressions, and you. And what this is about is that you can join us just with anything that's on your mind that you want to talk about. As Tanya and I, we sit down and talk about a whole lot of stuff all the time. And I just thought it would be a great idea today just to get into a conversation, expressing who we are or who I am and who she is and who you are at this time with my Reiki master. Are you here, Tanya?
I am here.
You are here. I hear all kinds of beeps in the background.
Really?
What is that about? Is that my end that's beeping or is that your end?
It must be your end because there are no beeps.
Oh,
on this
yeah,
end.
That's my end. So I'm headed to get another phone right about now. we couldn't really have a show without glitches, so it is what it is right now.
Well, I look forward to the day of a totally glitch-free show because I certainly experienced them enough myself.
Yeah, well, you know. Am I still here?
You're here.
Okay, great. All right. Now, nerves are settled.
Inner working is out pictured in our world.
And you said, state that again.
I love how our inner workings, the things that we're experiencing on the inside, can be out pictured in
yes.
our world.
Yes.
You had those nerves, and all of a sudden the phone decided it didn't want it to act up and beep, so it created
yes,
a distraction.
Yes. And I will say to the audience today, Minister Mason and I, you know, we were prepared to do the show, but I like to tackle the hard subjects, but sometimes it can become overwhelming dealing with them from a perspective of learning all that I need to learn in order to teach. It can be a little heavy at times, and today I was just walking around with all kinds of weight on me to express my true feelings about all that is going on around us and at the same time still remain in a teaching mode about it without involving myself into the propaganda of the hate mongrel that's going on out here. So, you know, I know you and I, Tanya, we sat down and we talked about this earlier, which you really helped me get through some of the heaviness of what's transpiring out here in the world. And I just want to take a minute. You know, it's not with Minister Mason. and we're expressing how we feel about what's going on around us, but not in the exact same way that him and I would have. But I wanted to share with the audience what you and I talked about in regards to some of today's issues, without getting into the heaviness or the hatred aspect of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I told you I will get amnesia in a heartbeat. I will have these long conversations, and then I'll have no memory of what I actually said. I just know I said it and I meant it, and I was probably quite eloquent at it, too. And the same thing happens. I know you may experience it, too, when messages from spirit come through us. People will say, oh, you said something so profound, and that was amazing, and that was so helpful. And I'm waiting for them to say what it was that I said because I have absolutely no idea. So I do have an inkling of what we were talking about. So I come from a perspective where I am very clear about my purpose on this planet, or at least one of the purposes, and I know that I am to show up not just with love, but to show up as love. And that comes easily for me. It flows easily from me. I've always had one of those forgiving hearts. And it's not that I don't learn from situations that occur, but I don't have any interest in holding hatred in my heart. And, you know, part of being a Reiki master is really working to clear and clear and clear and be a clear channel of the universal love energy. And I have found that that's been helpful for me in the various professions that I have held to be a clear channel. And so the same is true for me and how I show up in the world. So I take a different perspective sometimes when it comes to world events. And it's not that I don't feel anger. It's not that I don't feel pain and hurt and outrage at a call to movement in some way, but I don't get into a major blame game for the most part. I put on what I call my God lens and see with a higher vision, knowing that to everything there is a purpose, no matter how terrible it may seem. And so it allows me to step back in some ways and be an impartial observer in certain situations that, you know, affect me.
Well, I know for me and from my studies and from my experience that energy moves through me in a different way. And the way sometimes it moves through me is just like waking up in the morning and not wanting to be met with an open blind and sunshine is blaring directly into your eyes. Sometimes it takes you a little bit to adjust to your surroundings before you can get up and wake up with a pleasant attitude. So dealing with some of the things that are going on outside here really pointed me back into a direction where I needed to go deeper into wounds that, and I'll start from this point, and this is part of what we talked about earlier, is that at a point with slavery, those that were being oppressed could not express that oppression with the masters or with those that oppressed them. So the first place they would start was in their homes. They would spread the dysfunction to their family in various different forms. I was a recipient of those different forms. And sometimes when I'm dealing with situations such as what we're dealing with in the world, it reflects as if I have an anger, or it comes up as if I have an anger as to what's going on outside. And when I look at the situation much deeply, it has a whole lot to do with what I disregarded in my home, what I was brought up with. And what I was brought up with was the residue that was displaced in the home from a point in time of slavery, where, you know, I have a family that feels like the belt should be bronzed and regarded as this higher realm of discipline. And, you know, that can be okay for some families, but for me, I felt like we don't need all that. We really don't need all of that to really get to the bottom of a problem and finding a solution.
Haven't we had enough of our ancestors of being beaten?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Haven't we had enough of that, like the belt?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So we definitely have had enough in the homes. We've had enough that we pollute society with. The real issue with some folks out there that may feel as if hatred is the way or the retaliation is the way are really dealing with some really deep-seated issues that has a lot to do with them, their homes, things that have been passed down through bloodlines. But yet, perpetrated or been lived or expressed in their outer environment. In other words, they have not yet cleared any type of wounds, any type of hurt, any type of issue that they had with so-and-so back in whatever. I love the fact that you can clear these things and come to yourself and know exactly who you are. And it helps me. In a sense, it helps me to help those that have no direction when it comes to finding out or understanding who they are. They need a path. They're learning their path, and they don't know where their path lies. They don't even know where it begins. So it helps me to help them when I dig deep. So I thank you for those conversations. I thank you.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. I mean, I can't say that I'm perfect. I am far from it. But I do recognize that, you know, I, just like anyone else, I'm always in need of healing. There are times when I go through life and I'll encounter a situation and I'll feel triggered in some way, and I'm like, oh, I thought I healed that, as Reverend Jim Webb would say, I thought I healed that. It was, you know, but it comes up, and it may come up in a different way, and it allows me to dig even deeper, as you would say, to unpeel another layer of an onion, so to speak. Healing isn't the surface level situation that happens. It's an ongoing process. It's a lifelong process. And we're always unpeeling. And what I believe is, if something shows up in our life and it's feeling uncomfortable or painful or hurtful in some way, then it is an opportunity for us to take it to a deeper level of healing. And we look to other people and we want to blame and do this or that. That's fine and dandy. However, I always will first look within. Why is this showing up for me? What is it reflected for me? You know, if we see countries breaking out in war, fighting against each other, I look at any internal conflict that I'm experiencing. I know we were talking about previously about how I used to work in a hospital, and I loved, loved, loved my job. I loved my coworkers. I loved the pay. I loved the benefits, et cetera, et cetera. What I did not love was the fact that at the time I was studying to become a naturopath, and I was working in an allopathic healthcare system. And it began to cause a lot of internal conflict for me. So, you know, we all have different types of conflict that can show up for us. And if we're having it in, going to eventually come out to the outside. So we might start to have issues with family members or friends, other loved ones, and we'll see community conflict. It just shows up in so many different ways. But before we sit on a lofty pillar and look down on various people for what they're doing or not doing, I always say, look within. You know, what
exactly
I need to take care of, you know?
And, you know, it's getting through that fight with yourself. It's getting through that fight or whatever you hold resistance for within yourself that makes it all easy or difficult for some people. I know sometimes I'll come to my meditation room with one regimen on my mind, and that's just to meditate. And when I go into meditation, I am met with all kinds of, sometimes I don't even think that it's my emotions that's coming through. I'm picking up all of the debris within the atmosphere, which means that I'm picking up telepathic emotions or thoughts from people external from me, and some I may not even know, not in the context of knowing as we know. So I am picking up all of this stuff, and I remember that, I don't even remember the exact month when we went to a particular circle, and you would know what I'm talking about, with one of our sisters, and there was a sister there, and she went through the empath thing, and she, you know, had a sheet covering her, almost emulating a child in the womb. And as she spoke, my only task in this life right now was to remain joyous. And I don't know if anyone out there that really knows how hard it can be just to remain joyous in a time when you're met with so much adversity. That is a task within a task within a task that I've come to know, but embrace, you know, and in the days that I feel really low, I am communicating with my higher self or my ancestors or those beings that surround me with nothing but love and light to come out of this and please allow me to be able to translate it for the masses where they can then find a path within themselves to still remain joyous.
It is a task. It is definitely a task. It's not always easy. It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice to wake up every day and, well, it's a choice to determine how we wake up and show up every day, no matter what the circumstance. And that's tough when we have a lot thrown at us. And you mentioned the empathic issue. You know, I'm also an empath. And for those listeners who are not familiar, empaths are people who are very, very sensitive to others' energy. So sometimes being in crowds can be difficult. being in the grocery store can be difficult, especially places that carry low vibration.
Yes.
Like some big box stores whose name I will not mention. It can be really exhausting on the other end of that. And so when we have world events that happen that cause a lot of pain and turmoil and grief, et cetera, we can pick up on that energy as well. So it takes a lot of work to continue to clear the channel, clear the channel, clear the channel, so that, you know, the love, the joy, the peace, the light can flow through.
I think it's also important for me to express to anyone that clearing the channel per se is not a one-day event. That's a lifetime commitment. And when you speak of it's a choice to be joyous, that's a commitment to be who you are. So to want to wake up with joy in your heart, or to find joy somewhere along your path that day, that's a commitment. So that's not a one practice ordeal. Everyone is looking for that quick fix. I feel like everyone is looking for that quick fix, that one thing that we can do to take care the rest of our thoughts, the rest of our lives, the rest of everything that we can ever think of. And I don't know who sold those wolf tickets, but I'm not one that will sell you that. I am one to tell you that it's a consistent practice and a consistent effort to be open and to allow and to express and to be who you are each day.
Each day. Not when your ship comes in, or when you get that raise at work, or when your boss moves on to another job. Right now, in this moment, even when things don't look pretty, making that choice.
Yes. Like I say, shift happens.
Yes.
I didn't say the sugar honey iced tea word, but I said shift happens.
Right,
it happens
right.
All the time. It happens every day. And this is what it looks like. So whatever shift you're going through right now within your world, notice that you are making progress. It's up to you to realize your own progress and to love yourself for the progress that you've made. That's what shift looks like.
Right.
That's what change looks like. So it's always ideally pretty all the time. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much, but this is what happens when I meet up with my Reiki master. It happens. We just get down in the delta and we speak about what matters to the heart.
You know, something that really influenced me and stuck with me, it was back in the 80s when I was in graduate school to become a counselor. And we were assigned a project to choose a particular, I'll say, theorist for counseling or psychology. And even though I may have some issues today with some of the theories and how they work or may work or their limitations, I chose at the time Viktor Frankl. And called logotherapy. And I was just fascinated by his work. And what I learned about him really feeds me today. And what he found was way back during the Holocaust, and he was in a concentration camp, he wrote his book. He put, you know, his findings in a book, all of that. As is normal during times like that, you know, you're locked up. You really don't have any of your own possessions. And so somehow his manuscript was destroyed.
Wow.
And, yeah. And so he just did it all over again.
Wow,
and
with love.
Premises of Logotherapy, which he founded, is that it really isn't what happens to you that matters. It's how you deal with what happens.
Right.
I've heard this in many ways. So it's not that we're going through a lot of BS. It's how are we going to deal with it every day. So when we get up in the morning and we stub our toe, are we going to let that ruin our day? We get up in the morning
right.
and turn on the and we see that some nonsense is going on with various people being found out that they're not a certain race that they claim to be, or some terrorist has had some attack somewhere, or someone, you know, the economy has gone down the drain, what have you. It's how are we going to deal with it?
Exactly.
That, you know, are unplanned, unexpected, painful, hard, you know, things that give us grief, et cetera. And it doesn't seem to ignore your feelings. I mean, we certainly can experience anger and pain and grief, et cetera. Acknowledge those, but we don't dwell in them forever and
exactly.
ever. And allow.
I feel like we have to acknowledge that it is an experience. It is an experience, which means that within an experience, you can change the course of the outcome of it. You can change the outcome of an experience based on the relativeness that it has upon you or with you at the time that you are experiencing it.
Yeah.
Can you change that? Are you willing to change that? Can you step outside of the guilt? Can you step outside of your hurt? Can you step outside of just your narrow thinking for a moment to change the experience that you signed up for? You know, it's like getting on a roller coaster and you tick, 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 and you're going up to the peak of the roller coaster. And as soon as it gets at that peak, it just zooms everywhere that it zooms. And before you know it, it has a stopping point. Once that stopping point happens and you get off that roller coaster, you have the choice to get back on it. Or change your experience by going to another ride that's conducive to you. It's just an experience. So I feel like the more that we pour our energy into the negativity that is happening at this particular time and point, the more it continues to grow. You know, it's kind of like that Miracle-Grow. You know, the more you feed the soil with that particular ingredient, the more the plant begins to grow or the tree grows.
Energy flows.
I don't know if I'm stepping out of line. Am I speaking truth or am I not making sense right now?
No, you're speaking truth. I was just mentioning energy flows where attention goes. So,
exactly.
You know, if you're going to see the negativity, then it's going to continue to show up around you. But some will make a choice to acknowledge that it's there but not dwell in it and look for the exceptions to it. Look for the moments of peace and beauty and love and cooperation, et cetera.
And brothers and sisters, black and white, different cultures alike, understand, I absolutely know what you feel and what you see right now. But that does not mean that what you see and what you feel determines tomorrow for you. It's up to you. It's up to you right now how you see tomorrow and what tomorrow would look like for you.
You know, that it's easy for us to say. It's not so easy to do when what's showing up for us appears to be other. You know?
Okay.
You know, and it's hard for us to see that this can shift at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly. Like I said, when I spoke with you earlier, I spoke with you with heaviness on me.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that you're not going through the same thing that I'm going through, but in expressing it in a different way. You were there, available to listen. Not everyone can assume that position.
Mm-hmm.
However, that position and you, my position and your position at that time manifested this show at this moment. Conversations, expressions, and you.
Right.
So this is how tomorrow looks for us, talking about it, expressing it, seeing the I, understanding I in the external realm. That doesn't mean that we don't feel what's going on out here, but you have some that may internalize the outer atmosphere as something external coming into them. So what they do, they may pick up a gun and go out there, you know, ready to shoot someone because they can't take the pressure. There's some of us that's feeling the pressure that I'm speaking to right now that I want you to stop for a minute. Think, who has you fighting? Who has you picking up that gun? Who has you thinking other thoughts outside of yourself? That's the moment where peace, as hard as it may seem, that's the moment where allowing something different to come in and just relax you for a moment to make you think before you react. Remember, the system is ran on Energizer Bunny. As cartoonish as that may sound, the system is ran on an Energizer Bunny, something that is always constantly in motion and reacting.
And we can take the energy away from our reacting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Instead of reacting, we can be responding. What is our response ability? How are we going to respond in a way that we stay true to who we are and we remember who we are? You know, a divine reflection of mother, father, everything, God, you know, for those who believe in a higher power. You know, knowing
the higher power
that
is the collective power of us all. That is the higher power. The higher power is the collective power of us all. And if we cannot unify that power collectively as all, then we all have to fend for ourselves individually.
And
I don't know if that makes sense.
That's dividing us. So many divisive forces. And the true power is seeing how can we unify, how can we find the commonality, even in the face of all of this divisive adversity, all of this drama, trauma, craziness, seeming craziness that's going on.
You know, I always, anytime I have a lot of tough situations going on in my life, I don't know if anyone else goes through this, but for me, I always reflect to my childhood and growing up with my grandparents, my uncles, my cousins. Even if you don't have grandparents that you can remember, for me, I always reflect to a time where you know, I listen, like my grandmother, she would always tell her stories. She was famous at doing that, especially when thunderstorms went on. She was famous at telling her story and how things went down in her life growing up. But I always drew strength from the ancestors' stories.
Mm.
So, you know, I believe this is a time where we need to dig deep within and go far back, because no matter whatever story they told, they survived.
Yeah.
They survived racial injustice. They survived the system that oppressed them. They survived with sometimes no food in the damn house. No food. And I'm sorry to put it like that. This is a time for us to dig back into our history books and draw up the strength of our ancestors and how they did it. How did they do it? They survived. They took one day at a time. You can't account for tomorrow. You can't account for yesterday, because yesterday you're holding guilt towards. You got to let that go and move on to the now.
And they didn't try to do it alone. They worked within community. They didn't have a lot of that he said, she said, you know,
dividing.
And if dividing.
They ain't tell us.
Right, right. But you always saw them with an entourage of somebody. Somebody had their back. I think back to when I was growing up, we lived across the field from my aunt, my mother's sister, Hilda. And so we had a party. I mean, we shared so much. We even shared a telephone line.
Yes, but I remember those days, too.
Yeah, we shared a telephone line, and the field that we crossed in the summertime was a garden. And Aunt Hilda's husband, Uncle Alan, tended the garden, and we all helped out, and we would get fruit and vegetables from the garden as well. We lived more communally. We were all in the neighborhood, and it really was a village that helped to raise up the children there. And, you know, that's not always available here. Certainly in this day and age, or when people move away, et cetera, but there are different communities that we can tap into for people to help support us, uplift us, et cetera.
And you say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just summarizing. We don't have to do it alone.
We don't, and I definitely can remember growing up being in a neighborhood off of North Avenue and Washington Street in Baltimore, if anyone remembers that. Like I was telling you, we had a block full of family across the street, down the street, and whatever was around the corner on and or on the other side of those streets were maybe somebody my aunt was messing with, and, you know, she had her son with. It was still family. You know, it was still family. So it was family on one block, and on the other side, it was still family in some sort of way. And I know one time I tried my hand in hooking school, and little did I know that everybody came down. Everybody came down on me like, wait a minute, the babysitter trapped me at her house, called my grandmother and was like, you know, I caught her around about this time hooking school, you know. But to my appreciation at this point, there was a village that raised me, that raised my younger cousins. And, you know, it was all of us. It was all of us. Definitely it was all of us. So I can totally concur with your statement about there wasn't too much of the backstabbing, too much of the competition. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying now is the time for us to borrow from the past, to learn from that past, and to come together, and to not let petty stuff keep us divided. And when I say petty stuff, I mean, I'm not going to tell people's business, but sometimes I hear why folks aren't talking to each other or why they're mad at each other for some reason. And I just shake my head. In the grand scheme of things, that is so small and so, so petty. You know, come together. The bigger picture.
A small conversation, huh? All conversation. Well, I do want to mention that you have a show coming up on July 5th with one of my previous guests, Reverend Julianne Robertson, right?
Oh, yes. Reverend Julianne will be on. She was gracious enough to agree to come on the show to celebrate the start of our fifth anniversary. So July 5th, she will be on to provide channeled messages of love and healing.
All right, all right. And what is the link for that?
blogtalkradio.com/Tanya Parker. And if you go on my site, you will come and show. So my name is spelled T-O-N-Y-A. P-A-R-K-E-R. So for those of you who are already on Blog Talk, all you have to do is look for Tanya Parker, and my show is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, and you'll see that show with Reverend Julianne Robertson. Also, I have another show a week later on the 12th, and that is with Alan Klein, who is an author who was on back in 2012. I was thinking it was 2013. But I believe it was 2012, and he had me cracking up laughing. He just has a wonderful perspective on life. And this current book is called You Can't Ruin My Day. I had to stop and think for a moment.
I like that.
And it's interesting because the book is really in keeping with what I was mentioning a little bit earlier about, you know, no matter what someone throws at you, you can turn it around. It does not, you don't have the power. And so I'm looking forward to getting further into the book. You know, I would love to be able to sit down and read the books of the authors I interview as soon as I get them. But sometimes they will sit for a couple of months or so, and then next thing you know, it's time for the show, and I'm doing my speed reading deal. But his books flow very easily. And so I'm looking forward to those two guests coming on to celebrate the year.
All right, all right. Well, we got about 90 seconds left, and I do want to mention that on the 28th, we actually will be resuming the Baltimore Rides and What You Need to Know with Minister Mason. So make sure you tune in right here on our HMI Blog Talk Radio. Until then, I say peace, namaste, ashe, and see you next time on Finding Your Truth with HMI Radio, although this is Conversation Expressions and You. Peace out. So grateful that he spared my life.